Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Stand with us tonight, if you would, please, as we honor the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to begin at Matthew chapter number 5 and begin at verse number 1. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1. We desire your prayers tonight. Let me read this scripture. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Bow if you would. Father, we pray that you'd open our hearts to this truth. We confess and have confessed our desperate need for you. We're but messengers, and so we pray for the message. It be clear to our mind, and may our mind not be a hindrance. Help us simply to listen, to speak, to hear, to receive. And may the word do as you've promised it would do, to find its mark, to accomplish that for which it's sent. We trust you for this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've wrestled with the particular verse we're going to use for several days now, and it feels wrong to try to preach this without the others. You'll see what I mean here in a second, but it's not. It's, I believe, the direction of God for us today. When Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, I can assure you everything he said was important. Every word he said was important. I'm going to take one verse out of the ones that we read, but I wanted to say this because I believe that every verse is important, and that everything he said was so hard for people to hear that the truth is they probably didn't hear it. I want to use tonight as a text, specifically verse number 6 and only 6. Jesus said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'll get to the heart of where we're headed here in just a second, because there's truly a point to this, and we need to get it. But to get there, I believe it's important we recognize, based on the sentence itself, the declaration that Jesus was making, that we understand what he was trying to say. He used the term blessed or blessed in several of those verses. We refer to this passage of Scripture as the Beatitudes. All of those statements that Jesus made beginning with the word blessed. But it's not a word that we use very often. Now we say that we're blessed, and when I say that I'm blessed, I truly do mean the spiritual things. When you think about being blessed, if being blessed was only the things that are physical or carnal in nature, then certainly we could just throw a blanket statement out there and say everybody's blessed, right? Because God reigns on the just and the unjust. These people that despise God and still eat, God's merciful. And this is true. I believe the word blessed is something we need to get to the heart of and recognize that what Jesus was trying to say was that he's not suggesting that everybody's happy. And yet people want to be happy. They want to be happy and they want to think about being blessed. And if they're happy, they say, I'm blessed. But let's be clear, being happy is based on one's circumstances. By definition, the word happy comes from the Greek root of hap, which we also get happenstance, which is of luck or on accident. What Jesus is saying here is not based upon one's luck. When he says that blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, he is referring, when he says blessed, to something far greater than just the external whims of one's happenstance. It's not happy. As a matter of fact, I've been blessed before and not happy. And I'm talking about the spiritual things. I believe the word itself in its root, and you can look it up, the Greek definition of this one is about that long. It's enormous, and the same thing for the next one we want to look at quickly, but we got to understand what he means when he says blessed. The definition of itself, I believe at the root of it, it means this: that one is completely satisfied to the point that joy comes. Now, thinking of that as the definition of blessing, that because of what God does, right? You read through the Beatitudes, these verses, you'll recognize that what the Lord's asking or calling people into is not very appealing, right? Nobody wants to mourn. Nobody wants to be poor in spirit. Nobody wants to be meek, right? Nobody wants to suffer for his name's sake or righteousness' sake. None of these things that Jesus is speaking about are things that appeal to the flesh. So I know that when he says blessed, he's not referring to my flesh. He's not referring to those passing and fleeting moments of time in my flesh when I might smile or I might laugh or I might say that was fun or I enjoyed that or that was good. May I say to you today, when Jesus says blessed, he is referring to something that is far grander than pure happiness. Because a man can be happy one minute and sad the next. When you're blessed, friend, it goes deeper than that. There's something that begins to anchor the soul because it is now blessed. It receives something from God that gives it a complete satisfaction. Action that produces not happiness, but a joy from within. You say, preacher, are you saying that for a person truly that is poor in spirit can have joy? Yes. That is exactly what Jesus is saying. He is saying that blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they that are persecuted, blessed are they, those that have received the spiritual things of God, they are blessed, meaning they are completely satisfied, and that satisfaction brings a joy in the soul, and that, friend, is beyond everything else grand. He's blessed. Blessed. I don't think in the scheme of things, and I'm trying to be faithful to the scripture here, that you can simply just take one. And so I'm trying to be careful to make sure you know they're all together. There's a list of these, and Jesus gave them as a list. But I want us tonight to look specifically at verse number 6. As I suggest and bring a reminder and encouragement to the flock that we are completely satisfied when we hunger and thirst for God. The term he used there was righteousness. And after he said, hunger and thirst for righteousness, he said, what? For they shall be filled. Now, let me ask you, what we know about the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of the law, but what we know about the righteousness of God is that was a transaction that was performed. That is not a process. We're not referring to sanctification. When we talk about righteousness, I'm trying to distinguish between this and what the text really means to us. When we say righteousness and they shall be filled, let me remind you that the righteousness of God that was imparted and imputed from Jesus Christ into you and I was given to us in the very instant, the moment we were converted. The very instant that we were saved, I received from Christ Himself the righteousness of His own. I received into my own heart the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, I laid down the old man and I took up the new one that is in the righteousness of Christ. So I want to say this, and be careful how you hear it when I say to you, they shall be filled. I'm not referring to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, for I am already filled with that. Does that make sense? So what I know about the text is he's not referring to the righteousness of Jesus Christ because I already have that in its fullness. I cannot get any more righteousness of Christ in me than it's already in me. That's an important distinction. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I believe Jesus was speaking specifically here about a state of mind. It's deeper than a state of mind. And I believe that's why the term hunger and thirst is such a good representation of where he wants us to be with this declaration. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you would, let's look at the term righteousness to try to make certain we grasp this truth. Righteousness, the Greek word itself, is a great long definition, and it goes in certainly to all of the things concerning God. Because obviously when it comes to trying to define righteousness, there is only one to which we can look. It has nothing to do with man. Right? When we say righteousness, when we think of righteousness, we have to make certain we understand that it excludes mankind. The only right one is God the Father. The only one that is truly righteous is Jesus Christ. Everything that, when you talk about having the righteousness of God, can we agree that what it means today is that the spiritual things of God can come to man and they come to us as the righteousness of God Himself. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after after the things that are spiritual, after the things that are of God. He said in Matthew chapter number 6, just a chapter over, verse number 33, he would say to them, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after the things of God." Are we getting there? I hope you can follow me on this. We have to recognize that there are things, you see, that we ought to desire more than the flesh of this world, more than the bread of life, more than the water of this world. There are things that are spiritual in nature that God has promised us and has given us. We have tasted of these heavenly things. We know that they're good and that they're righteousness. Brother, we ought to desire these things more than anything else in the world. There's the rub. Right? We finally got to the point. The reason people don't come to church is because they don't desire God. They're not hungry for the things that are spiritual. And I can tell you, for the most part, the reason people avoid the things that are spiritual is because they, by nature, are carnal. But if they are living in sin, it is uncomfortable to be in a place where spiritual things are being given. It is not comfortable. Right? Every one of us know it. Everybody that's been saved long enough understands the problem here. When you backslide on God, amen, the first thing you do is quit going to church. Right? That is, if you want to stay backslid. Because the most uncomfortable thing you'll ever do is to sit in a church service. I've heard Bruce's testimony, right, when he was backslid, how he sat for 2 or 3 years on the back seat. He went because he was made to go. He was at church because he was made to be at church by his parents, and thank God for that. Amen. But here's what I can tell you. You can sit in church and you can be miserable, but if you'll heed to the word and what Jesus was saying, what he was saying was to be completely satisfied, to be truly satisfied in the soul, and to the point that joy comes inside. We have to hunger and thirst after the things of God. Hunger and thirst. How many of you have gone through a day and suddenly realized you haven't ate anything? Right? That's happened to me. And most of the time when that's going on, right, I'm so busy doing something else, I don't think about it. And you know, if you're outside and you're working or you're doing something, you know, that's really intense or complicated or at least busy, as long as you don't smell a hamburger, you don't get hungry. Right? Now, if somebody passes with an ice cream cone, it'll hit you. But that appetite, it don't come to us. Amen. Unless we just begin to focus on it. Unless we begin to allow ourselves to think about that thing. I want you to know that some of us get so busy that we allow this world to distract us from the things that ought to be as natural as having an appetite, as natural as waking up in the morning and thinking I need to eat something or I need to drink something. I heard one man say it like this: the food that we eat is sustaining and the drink that we take is refreshing, and it takes both of them to fully satisfy the human body. May I say to you today that we as the children of God ought to hunger for the sustaining of spiritual things of God. We ought to desire as a thirst in our soul for those things that refresh us and renew us day by day. And all of this comes from God. It can't come from man. You want to be blessed. You want to be fulfilled and satisfied, true joy in your heart. Listen, it'll come when you find that place in your life where you lay aside the things of the world and you begin to dwell on the appetites for God. The psalmist said it like this in the 40-something psalm. I read it again this week. He said, "My heart panteth for God as the heart panteth for the water brook." A heart, by the way, is a deer. What was he saying? He was saying, "I'm so thirsty for God. Right? I'm not thirsty for the external things of God. No, I'm thirsty for the spiritual things of God. Right? I can come to church and I can sit on a bench and I can go home the same way that I came. I will not receive what Jesus is speaking of in this verse in particular. I will not get what He's after here until my soul has lent, my soul has yielded and began to acknowledge that I need God and I need the things of God. I need the Spirit of God, of those things that are righteousness of God, all of the goodness of God. I need this and my soul should hunger for it. It should thirst for the things of God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for these things of God, the spiritual things of God. These are the things that satisfy the soul of a believer. These and only these things truly are the things that can bring true peace and joy to our heart. The problem with keeping a spiritual appetite in check, focused on the things that it needs to be, is we must keep sin at bay. I tell you, there's a lot of stuff in this world, the wickedness of this world, that will steal your appetite. It'll spoil your supper. Amen. Before you know it, you won't want anything to do with God. You're not hungry. You're not thirsty for God. You say, preacher, how in the world can you truly know when somebody, amen, if you're really hungry and thirsty for God, I just got to look around. You'll be getting some. You'll be receiving the spiritual things of God. He'll be sustaining you with His Word, and it'll be filling you and satisfying you. I'll know it. Amen. I'll see it when you're getting it. Amen. I like to watch people that enjoy when they eat, don't you? I like them when they just sit down and go at it. When people get hungry for God, amen, it's just like sitting down to His table. My soul breaks for those who have lost their appetite for Christ. Jesus was telling a truth they couldn't understand yet. They could not know this. They could not grasp this truth. As He said to them, blessed are they that suffer for righteousness' sake only. They didn't get that. Not yet. There are some of them that would, though. When He rose again, when the Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost and it filled their hearts, they suddenly received of God the righteousness, the spiritual things, the spiritual goodness of God. And no doubt some of these writers, as Peter and them would pen these gospels, as they would write them down, they would remember the words of Jesus when He said to them, blessed are those who hunger and thirst not after the gluttony of this world, not after the drink of this world, but after the things of God. That's what blesses, truly blesses in the soul of man. It's the things of God. Blessed are they. A man or a woman is truly blessed, completely satisfied when they yield themselves and become obedient to the appetite of the soul, not the flesh. The two cannot be intermingled. You cannot love this world and love God. Jesus said, you'll love the one and hate the other, or vice versa. You cannot have them both. Here's what He means. If I can bring the other verses in without bringing them in. Here's what he means. That ultimately the truest form of joy and satisfaction for the inward man is to experience the things of God. And most of those things come through the hard stuff that weeds them out. Amen. That'll thin your crowd. Blessed are they, he said, that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. See, all of these things that he's saying are contrary to the flesh nature. None of these things are things I want. No. No, you ask me if I want to be those things. No, that's not on my bucket list. No, my flesh wants to be happy. But what Jesus is saying goes so far beyond happy that it's not even in the same category as good. Jesus is referring to something that comes from the soul that is so far greater than just happiness. Happiness can't satisfy. The pleasure of sin is but for a season. And happiness is fleeting. It comes and it goes and it's a whim. No, what Jesus was referring to is something that truly is like a drink of water on your most thirsty day. It is that term. I remember our kids when they were growing up, I'm starving to death. Have you ever heard that one? They ain't ever been a child in this room that was starving to death. Dog, we go on, right? Right? We get 1 10-second hunger pain and we're starving to death. Oh, to God we'd pay attention to the spirit. As much as we worry about the flesh. Truly. Truly, the more I think about gluttony, the more of a sin it becomes. And that simply is eating too. He was referring to the physical act. And you know why I think he's... It's because if we cannot bring the physical under subjection, then I can assure you that which is more important, which is the spiritual, it will suffer and it will fail to be truly the hunger for God that it needs to be. Every one of us have quit something to go get something to eat. Right? I've quit fishing before because I got hungry. That's why I normally keep little Debbie's in my boat. Went home because I got hungry. Oh, to God that we would do anything to get another meal from God. We'd go as far as we needed to go. We'd crawl. We'd do whatever we had to do to get into the place where we could sit in a heavenly venue and be at the table of God and receive for our hunger and our thirst for the spiritual things, the blessings of the Almighty. We love that, don't we? I do. I do. I like those heavenly places. I like those times when the glory of God comes and it just fills every heart. And it is sustaining and it is refreshing, just as if you were to eat a meal and you were to drink your favorite thing. And you know, those things, it completes, it satisfies, right? Oh, Charles Goodson used to tell me like that. We'd have a dinner after the church, after church, and he always had a great big belly anyway. And he'd look at me and he'd say, "Preacher," he said, "if I felt like this all the time, I'd never eat again." Ain't that true? But you see, the things of God, what I got last Sunday, That's God, time I got home, I was hungry again. You say, whoo, that'll do me all week. I don't know. Your appetite's a little waning. Amen. You one of them skinny people when it comes to God. I like to read in the Psalms where he said we'll be fat and flourish. Now, I believe he's talking spiritual. I believe he was talking about the good stuff. You know who gets the good stuff? The hungry. That's why they had to pay extra attention to the runt. Because it's them bigger fellers that's getting all the grub. We used to keep an extra bowl just for the runt, right? Because the rest of them, couldn't get in there. What I'm saying to you is you're missing it. If your hunger and thirst is not for God, if it's for this world, you're missing it. You are trading something that is a little Debbie that could have been ham meat. You see what I mean? Right, you can eat one of them worthless sugar things and in 10 minutes you're hungry again. They won't fill you. They won't sustain you. They won't grow you. They won't help you. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after the spiritual things. For they shall be filled. Hallelujah. May we just say right now, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you something. What happens on the spiritual side of it? You really hungry for God? You know what you can take? You can have your plate full and you can go back and say, may I have more? What's he do? He just feeds us and feeds us, don't he? Boy, he does me. But I got to meet the conditions. Amen. I've got to create within the spiritual part the appetite for God. It is the appetite for Christ, amen, that makes me put everything else aside that I might obtain and win that. The good part. The good part. Come get a song. Just play us something. Right, you know where I'm headed with this. Mary and Martha. See, there's one of them after the good part. You know what Mary had a hunger for? It wasn't the taters that Martha was cooking. No, Martha was all tore up about that part. She was all in a fuss about that part. And yet Mary never moved from his feet. You know what was more important to Mary than being shunned by her own sister, scolded by her own sister, maybe even looked down by some of the other disciples because she wasn't fulfilling her role as a provider? Her spiritual appetite outweighed everything else going on, and she forsook everything, everything that she might sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha, I guess she knew Mary. She wasn't getting nowhere with Mary. She looked at the Lord. She said, don't you care that my sister not helping me? And this is what Jesus said to Mary, Martha. He said, Martha, you're troubled about much. Right? He didn't condemn her for it. No. But he said, you hear me on this one. But Mary has chose the good part. And that she will not be denied. How many times have you come to church and said, Lord, I'm desperate. I need something. I need you to help me. And it just like it was buckets just flowing from heaven. Pardon me if most of what I do in this world gets undone because I'm going to Jesus. My soul hungers for the good part. The good part. The thing that truly brings peace to my heart is not the stuff of this world. It's the spiritual stuff that brings peace. It's the spiritual things that bring joy. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, the spiritual, the things of God. Blessed are they whose greatest appetite is for Him. For they shall be filled. You need Him. The reason you're not seeking Him is because you're not hungry for Him. You're not thirsty for Him. And the only reason that can be is because your appetite is on something else. It's one or the other. You've got an appetite. You've got an appetite. But what is it for? What have you committed your soul to? As we stand, if you're here tonight, you say, is this relevant? Yeah, I think it's at the heart of where we're at. If we're really going to see Christ exalted and Him draw, right, with the power to arrest sinners. Jesus is the one who said, if I be lifted up. That's what He said, if. If I be lifted up. In order for us to take our spot in that place, wherever it is that I lift Him up, I'm going to have an appetite for the spiritual things. I'll have to have an appetite for God to see that happen. You say, do we need to check our appetite? Yep. Yeah, that's where we're at. That's what the sister was talking about earlier. We need changed. That when I wake in the morning, it ain't biscuits I want. No, my soul. I want my soul to hunger and thirst for the spiritual, the things of God. When we get to that place, we will become instruments, servants of Christ, that can then exalt Him as we come together. Exalt Him as we live our daily lives. Exalt Him in a way that He is able to draw all men. So I'm praying for my own appetite. I'm praying for my own appetite that I'll be so hungry for God that there won't anything keep me from His feet. Being changed, made into what I need to be. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in the spirit and truth. There is no other way. May our soul hunger and thirst for God. All right. Let's take this home with us, right? And as you're trying to pray, and I know it's hard, right? We all have flesh and we have to fight that and we have to, but day by day. Did you know if you quit eating, your stomach shrinks? That's what they say anyway. I've never quit eating long enough for that to really happen, but, and pretty soon you can't eat as much as you used to. That'll happen to you spiritually if you're not careful. But on the reverse, if you eat a little more each time, right, you get able to handle a little more. When it comes to God, what Jesus said was they shall be filled. Now that indicates to me there ain't no room left, right? You ever been full? Right? You ever done eating and just been, I'm full. I can't eat another thing. Jesus said they shall be filled when what they hunger for and thirst for is me. That's the feeling we need. That's what we need. All right, let's take that with us and let Him change us with it. It's His Word. It ought to change us. It ought to help us. May it bear with us. May it wake us up in the night. Whatever it may, His Word change us to be what we need to be. God loves you.